Hi, and welcome to Inside Windows Phone. I'm Larry Lieberman, a product manager in the Windows Phone division here at Microsoft. Today we're talking to Nicolo. I can't pronounce your last name.
Nicolo Mikhailov.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Nicolo is a developer here at Microsoft. Mm-hmm. Why don't you tell us a little bit about what you do?
I work the Expression Blend team.
Okay.
And we are working for the new tools for Windows 8. It's very exciting.
Oh, that's great. That's great stuff. We're real fans of Windows 8 here. But let's talk about Inside Windows Phone today. You wrote one of the most popular Windows Phone photo editing apps.
Yes, I actually like it a lot. I started writing photo apps since I was like 12 probably or 13 year old. So it's been always sort of my passion. And then what I really wanted to do, Windows Phone gave me an opportunity to actually be more productive with my app and not focus as much on the code, but actually work on the details and the design. And
you know, we hear that time and again that people really need to step back and not just, you know, a lot of people have the inclination because our platform is so easy to use to just start coding and build their app on the fly. And when you do that, it's great that you can do that, but the problem is that sometimes that takes the design stage out of the equation. You don't spend time thinking through what the use cases are.
Yes. And I actually think, that's a very good point. So the way I started with Fantasia, what I really wanted to do, I started with this idea, okay, I have something in my head, like I walk down the street and I see an amazing panorama or something, and I say, oh, wouldn't it be nice if this flower was a little bit curved, or maybe that building window was not round, but it was square or something. And all those weird things, you know, like Alice in Wonderland type of things.
So I said, popping color.
So these are all the things that people do today in Photoshop, and they spend some time learning those. And I really wanted to be able to say, okay, I want to get whatever is in your head and put it in a picture. And I want everyone to be able to do this, not just like the Photoshop expert or maybe people who are professionals.
Right.
So that was the idea behind the app, and I think that's driving all of the everything else comes after this. So all the features that I add and the stuff that I add, and for example, it does not look like Instagram.
So like giving people the ability to be creative with their pictures on the phone in a way similar to the way they are with Photoshop.
I wouldn't say in a similar way, I would say with a similar result,
okay,
but in a completely different way, because we don't want just another Photoshop, because Photoshop, it's hard
for me to learn.
Tool.
You know, I know there are so many features in Photoshop, and you look at the interface to Photoshop, it looks like the dashboard of a 747, I like to say.
Yeah.
It's just overwhelming and intimidating. So you wrote something that works on the phone really well, and I imagine you had to do a lot of work around the experience, how you actually manipulate the pictures.
Okay, can I just
Let's look at
here is a picture that I opened in Fantasia, and that's your daughter.
That's my daughter.
Yeah, she's very cute.
Thank you.
And here is one of the, this is the effect screen in Fantasia. So here we have an amount of effects that you can apply. And the different thing between Fantasia and most other apps is that, unlike other apps which you go into the effect and you apply to change a few settings, in Fantasia you have full control where do you apply the effect. So now I'm in the colorized effect.
See.
You see that everything is black and white on the screen, but if I tap here, I can make only her shirt.
Oh, just by tapping?
And then I can paint a little bit, or maybe I would like to color a little bit here. Then again, you have the tweaks as any other effect. You can go increase the overall saturation or decrease it. Actually, a better example would be the recolor effect. So say I want to recolor your daughter's shirt. Right now it's red. And I want to recolor only the shirt. So I would go here, I would say, show me the original image. And now I will paint the effect on her shirt. So I will go here. Let me zoom in a little bit. And there you go. Okay. It's not perfect, but that's good for a 3-second work, right?
Yeah, it's
amazing. Imagine how much time you would spend doing this in Photoshop.
I'm pretty impressed. You have to do sort of masks and so forth. Yeah.
So now that I'm done with this, I can go and I can choose the color I want, right? I can say,
okay,
it's green, maybe it's purple, maybe it's way too saturated. Let's turn it down a bit. So once I'm happy with that, or I just say keep changes and I go back and I can apply another similar effect like that. And the interesting thing from a because I wanted all of the effects to be customizable, I created a big base class in the source code that has the ability to adapt to all of my effects. So
all of your effects are actually descended from a single base class that actually is performing the operation.
Yes.
And then you just pass it the parameters around.
Yes. And they're mostly I use descriptive language. I use attributes on the C# properties to say this property should actually result in a control. For example, if I go to the recolor page and I have a hue and saturation properties here.
Yes.
Those are two properties in a C# class that have a specific attribute that says this should appear on the UI.
I see.
So this.
And so those become a control because of the way that you've done that.
And the nice thing about this is since I have exactly the same base foundation for all effects, if I add a new feature, I can add it with very easily to all of the effects. So for example, I have this feature called vertical fade, which makes half of the picture black and white, the other half, it has the effect applied. So that's how vertical fade works, or I have horizontal fade. So when I add this, it automatically gets added to all effects. So for example, I can go and say, here's the pencil sketch, for example. Let's see how that works. I haven't tried it for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, so now I can say, okay, fade me a little bit. Or actually that's probably one of my favorite effects in Fantasia. So I can go here and I can make some really cool things that you really have to spend a lot of time with other apps to do.
And you're doing that all very quickly. It's actually pretty impressive.
The other thing I wanted to do was be able to change and manipulate objects easily. So for example, say I want to curve this green thing right here a little bit. Oop. Okay, it's done.
Wow.
Or maybe I want to curve this thing a little. How about I make this a little bit larger? Okay, it got larger.
There, yes, I see.
Now the nice thing about this, it's actually not destructive, so I can exaggerate it a little bit. Or I can invert it, now it gets smaller instead of larger like that. So it's really powerful. That's just the three
that's
out
your
of...
your mold control.
Oh. Out of 45 effects. I also have brushes. And I have a ton of brushes, really.
Now, the other thing I'm noticing is that the performance is very, very good.
Yeah.
I mean, you've obviously spent some time thinking about how to make a performant app. And I know that you've done a lot of work to accomplish that. I mean, do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the way the performance works in Fantasia, there are three components. There is the initial load, the controls, and the inlining of code.
Okay.
So the initial load is how fast the application loads when you first launch it.
Right. We've and talked about that quite a lot, the startup time. And
Basically, I don't believe in progress bars. I believe in no progress bars.
No splash screen there either, was there?
If you have to add a progress bar, you should just make it faster to the best of your ability.
So you don't have a splash screen either, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually think that progress bars, for me, I consider progress bar a personal failure.
Got it, because you're kind of a performance, you're kind of very into performance.
And that's why this app now loads in 300 milliseconds to 300 milliseconds.
So what did you do to accomplish that? I mean, this seems to be a lot of work beyond just taking code out of your constructors.
Yeah. So this part is easy. Yeah, I mean, I don't think the code in constructors causes a lot of the load time. It's actually the size of the first DLL that does that.
Got it.
And that's a very good tip. So if you want to get your app to run faster, take all the images that you have and put them in a separate DLL. And then you can use the great Windows Phone Profiler tool. So when you actually run the profiler, it tells you which DLLs are loaded.
Yes.
At what time. I actually had to split some DLLs into two or three different parts. And in order to ensure that the smallest DLL loads first, then when the app loads, when I tap here, another DLL loads, and so on. And this is done by the .NET framework. I don't actually load anything myself.
Right. You just simply have to compartmentalize your code out into separate DLLs, and then all the management gets taken care of.
And the result is the initial startup time went down from 1.5 seconds to less than 300 milliseconds.
That's amazing. That's just amazing.
So that's the first part. The second part is controls. What I did was, I actually think most of my code that I wrote would probably not pass any reasonable person's code reviews because it's so customized, but it's all, that's what also makes it very fast. So for example, mm-hmm. if I have a button and I want to add another button with mm-hmm. an image, I would keep only one button just to make the visual tree smaller and add the image in it, and I would only switch the images
if I
have two buttons on top of each other, for example.
Right.
So, or I would even go as far as not using the default list view and implementing it from scratch for myself.
Is that what you did with your,
for the brushes here, that's what I did.
It actually looks like a list view, but it's not.
Yeah, it looks like a list view. It's actually a collection of images and text in a stack panel.
Wow.
And then
anybody can do that. I mean, anyone can just say. Yeah.
It takes time, but you can do it. And if you do it, it works great. So
when you're dealing with a small set of items like that, it probably is a great thing to do.
That particular list view to stack panel change saved about 800 milliseconds for this UI to appear, which is very important. It's now instant. It used to be laggy a little bit, just a little bit.
And what do some of these things do, by the way? I'm just kind of curious about the actual features you've got here.
Okay, those are just brushes.
I see.
The nice thing about Fantasia's brushes are that they're really intelligent. So, for example, it's not like a usual brush where you paint and the stuff appears below your finger.
Mm-hmm.
It does some more stuff on top of that. So, for example, if I paint here right now, you can see how it interconnects the lines.
So you're actually performing some sort of transforms to actually create an effect of some kind around the brush.
Yeah, it actually tracks your direction, the speed of movement, and the angle that you're drawing at
the
same time, and all your previous strokes.
And this is one of your brushes. Which brush is this one?
This is the sketch brush.
Okay.
That's actually a very good example of the sketch brush. If I put it in rainbow mode, if I go like drawing from top to bottom, I get this. If I start drawing from left to right, I get this. And you can see how it merges them together to create a nice picture. So this is an example of a Fantasia smart brush. And these are also really easy to do. I'm actually not sure why most people don't have them.
Okay.
And I just have like some brushes that I really liked. When I first started the app, I wanted to be able to add makeup to faces. So I have the light makeup and the dark makeup brush, and I have the different types of makeup, and I have like the dirty paint brush, and this is like a fun brush to experiment with. Actually, kids like this one a lot.
Wow.
So that's another example of a brush. Yeah, they can draw on their own as well when you don't tap the screen.
And I like this. Mm-hmm. This is actually a great menu mm-hmm. that you've created here where you're actually picking, you know, mm-hmm. what you're going to be doing in the app.
Yes.
If you could show that again. The
effects menu?
Yeah, because that's... It's got sort of a... You know, it's like you've taken some aspects of Metro here. It looks a little bit like tiles, but you've also made it your own here. You're doing some things that are a little bit different.
Yes, and I actually spend a... I want to actually talk a little bit about how to make a quality app.
Okay, let's do that. We don't have a lot of time left, so why don't we focus on that?
Yeah, so because I don't want it to just be a big advertisement. Sorry about that.
No. I think it's really interesting to see what people do and understand how they came mm-hmm. up with the ideas, because one of the questions we get all the time is, you know, how do I come up with an idea for mm-hmm. a mobile app? And it's all about just trying to do something.
One very quick mention, just in 2 seconds, about the third part of performance, which is inlining. Because on this device there is a lot of registers on the processor,
mm-hmm.
if you inline functions, you gain a lot of speed. For example, and by inlining, I mean if you have a big for loop that mm-hmm. processes 4 million pixels, and you call a function inside it, instead of calling that function, you just put the code directly in the for loop.
Right.
And that can save you 85% of the execution time.
That's an amazingly good tip. And I actually have not heard that one before.
So, for example, one of the examples, I don't remember which effect, was probably like the dark dream, I think. Uh-huh. It used to take 12 seconds, and after I just did this very simple thing, it took me 5 minutes, and it's running now in less than a second.
Wow.
So it's really amazing. And I actually spent some time When I started to optimize it, I went to the, I found which CPU they used, the Snapdragon or something.
Sure.
That was the Samsung Focus, the first phone that came, one of the first phones that came out. And then I went to the manufacturer's website and I checked what's so special about this processor. And I found that they have like all these registers, which are very fast to access. So the more stuff that you store in local variables, the better for you.
Because of the context switching? Like you basically, yes. Okay.
Because each time you call a function, it goes somewhere else and it loses all the registers.
Wow.
Well, not each time, but sometimes.
Yeah. Right.
So, okay, that's for
a great
performance.
Tip.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing.
So how to make a really quality app? I think regardless of how good developer you are, you can be like excellent developer. There are definitely a lot more developers better than me out there, but there are not a lot more apps better than this app out there, based on user reviews, in my personal opinion.
Okay. It's a pretty darn impressive app, no matter who you are, I think.
So how do you actually make a quality app? I think you have to, before you even start, you should think, why do you want to do this app?
Mm-hmm.
As my previous boss used to say, you can't give a person $1 billion and tell them create another Mozart symphony. It will just not happen. So some things, they don't happen for money. So why do they happen? For example, if you think about Wikipedia is completely free.
Yeah.
And it started with several people. If you asked a commercial encyclopedia provider maybe 10 years ago, why don't we go and make a free website for encyclopedia and it will become the biggest in the world, they would probably will laugh at you, right?
Right.
And you can see where Wikipedia is today.
Now they put them out of business.
So you should always, when you create an app, you should think about these things. Do you want to just make money? Do you want to maybe realize an idea? Or do you want to enable people to do something? Or you're doing it just for fun? And you should be very clear about that since the beginning. And this helps define what do you do with that app. And also, it's okay to start small. So when I started this app, I did not have the idea, I'll make this huge app with all the effects and all that stuff. At first I said, how do I make something that I can paint with? I'm a very bad artist.
Mm-hmm.
How do I make something that whatever I do, it comes out good? So I started, maybe I need a brush and I need something that's, for example, I really liked sketching, but I can't sketch at all. I'm horrible at sketching. So I said, I'll make this one simple brush that will make me good at sketching. So I made a sketch brush. It took me like 2-3 months.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really nice. I spent all this time on the sketch brush. So that was the first version of Fantasia. And it got really good reviews from a small amount of the audience, which cared about this stuff. And then I kept adding and adding. And that's how it became what it is today. Another thing to think about is differentiation. So what I saw on the marketplace, there's like a ton of apps that all say, I'm not trying to bash them particularly, any of them, but there's a ton of apps that are called Photo and then something, like Photo Studio, Photo Studio Plus, Photo Effects, Photo Guru, Photo something.
Yeah, a lot of photo apps.
If you think about it from a consumer perspective, there's really no way for a consumer to just look at the list and say, this app is interesting, this app is different. They're all like Photo. Like, what's the difference between Photo Guru and Photo Effects? Or mm-hmm. maybe Photo Effects and Photo Effects Plus. Okay, maybe one is better, but maybe not, right? They're completely different apps.
One is Plus.
Yeah, but so naming your app, it's extremely important how you promote it, in how you promote it on the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
So I chose Fantasia Painter. It's probably not the best name, but it's different. And it when I talked with friends...
Fast application switching.
Oh, yeah. They basically told me I wanted my app to behave differently than other apps, which is extremely important, differentiating, but not just for the sake of making it different, but for the sake of making something still usable, but complementary maybe to another app. So if you see an app that has a really cool app that has all these borders and frames, and you say, this is really cool, I want to make this. Well, if you make this, it will just be the same app, or maybe it will be a little different. The problem with that is that you get into what people call a drag race. So basically, they add a frame, you add a frame. They add two frames, you add two frames. And then it's really hard to compete at that level.
Right.
But if you make something that's substantially different and complements the frames app, say an app to add light effects, specific for light effects, and you can make the best app for light effects, and then people will want your app because they'll say, oh, I had this frame, but this app is extremely cool. Why don't I add a light effect and add the frame app on that? So you should really think about these things before you start coding, unless, of course, you want to do it for fun.
Well, sure. Yeah. Those are great points. I think that the apps where people are passionate about specifically doing something are almost always just much, much more engaging than apps that you can tell people are just putting it out there.
Yes. Another point that I actually haven't seen, and I talked with professional marketers, and they said that's the most common mistake that developers do because they're not good at marketing. And I'm not good at marketing, but I've heard it from pros, so maybe take it as as a fact. They say that people don't pay attention to support emails. And what I notice is that I decided, okay, for this app, and I didn't used to pay any attention to support emails, and I said, okay, for this app, I'll pay attention to support emails, and I'll answer every email, and I'll answer it fast, and I'll make sure that people are happy, and I'll admit my mistakes.
So you're putting a mechanism in your app for people to find you, first of all.
Yeah, that was actually, that's one of the great things that I liked about this app, because I have these small feedback things everywhere. So, for example, as you scroll through the effects, you go to the bottom, and then you see this
feedback. What effects would you like?
What else would you like here? And they're like all over the app, maybe on 5 or 6 different places. And I actually listen to these, and I don't only listen to these. I actually try to make myself, put myself in that person's shoes, and you can say, how much does this person really want this? Because they spent all this time, if you think about it, only 1 or 2% of the people actually sent feedback.
Right.
And they spent all this time to write the email. They obviously used the app. So imagine how much they would like it if you had that feature. It's really important. And what I received a lot of feedback that says, wow, you are so responsive. It's like, we really like what happened and the way you responded. You're competitor, blah, I'm not going to say competitor names.
Yeah.
They don't respond. And it's the top apps, which I'm very amazed. I mean, even the top apps, they don't pay as much attention to support as they should be.
Sure, sure.
And this is like a gold mine. It's really a gold mine. So honestly, I can say that I did not develop this app. It's the 400 people that sent me feedback that made this app. I made a little bit of the code.
You came up with the first idea.
I did not even come up with the first idea. So this app, 90% of the app is made by all the people that just like to paint.
Sure.
And most of the effects that I came up with, some of them are my idea, but most of them I would never think about if it wasn't for someone to say, oh, here, why don't you do this? So feedback is really important.
And responding to the feedback.
Yeah. I think that's...
Well, cool. Okay. This is really amazing. You know, if I had to, actually just reiterate what I heard you say, I think focusing on performance, focusing on something that you're passionate about, that you enjoy and love, and responding to customer feedback are kind of like the key things that have driven you to build this application, which is, you know, really successful.
Yeah. And it is fun. I can say, like a year and a half later, I still have a lot of fun just sitting and doing it.
Well, we enjoy using your app, and we're looking forward to see what you do next. But thanks a lot for your time today, and thank you for your time. We'll see you next week on Inside Windows Phone.